Psalms 109 and verse 22. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. Turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. David was speaking in Psalms when he said, my heart is wounded. Proverbs says in verse 14, chapter 18, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? I want to preach to you here this morning. The wound is real. The wound is real. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your word. And I ask you today, let your word go forth with an understanding, a clarity. But not only that, God, let it heal the hearts and the minds and the spirit of man in this building here today. I pray in Jesus' name. God bless you, and you may be seated. David, one of the most, I've said this on Wednesday nights and say it repetitively, probably one of the most intriguing but yet uniquely relevant characters in the Bible. David, we know the stories from early. David, the young man, the ruddy young man, curly hair, and discounted by many. David was the one that stood up in the face of a 9-foot giant called Goliath. Took a stone and a sling and threw it at Goliath and defeated a giant that nobody else could defeat. An army of Israelites with the best of the best, spears and swords and equipment and shields, had everything they needed to defeat him. But yet it took a young man that most people had wrote off and discounted and just a kid and no attributes that would cause anyone to sign him up in the army, but beat Goliath in his young, probably immature stature. It didn't end there for David, for he not only defeated Goliath and became a national hero, but from there he led armies into battles that they were outnumbered. But yet David, with a heart of a lion and a courage that matched no other man, that it caused God to say, I found me a man after my own heart. It wasn't because of David's melodious harp playing that he played on the backside of a hill, but it was more than just a talent or an ability that David had. It was David's ability to look at the odds and the situations that he faced and knew that if God be for me, nothing could be against me. There was an element in David's faith that he was not only a man's man that was strong with his hands and able to fight against every odd that came against him. He was, in our society, how would we term it, or how would our kids term, man, he's just tough. He's just tough. There was something about David that it was very evident that he was not afraid of anything. I think of men that I have crossed paths with, and I could think of some of the older men, and you look at their hands, and their hands are gnarled and calloused because of hard labor and work. Or you look at the battle men that have gone to Vietnam or Iraq, Desert Storm, and they come back, and even though their hands might not be calloused with the work of their hands, their hearts are calloused. Wounded with wounds that didn't come from maybe a bayonet or a sword or a shield, but yet their minds are so scarred and hurt and wounded. I'm not trying to come here today with some psychological dissertation or some theory of psychology or Norman Vincent Peale of the mind or some Freudian psychological assessment. I'm coming to somebody here today that You may have the outer trappings of that which is tough, and I don't gender specific, make it gender specific with a man, but yet maybe some lady here today that you've had the front that your world is perfect and everything's all right. And your world is together and you've got it all together, and that's the front you propagate. But inside you there's a wounded spirit and a heart that you've told nobody about. There's a heart inside of you that you realize even 20, 30, 40 years, however long it's been, you still struggle with some things in your mind and heart and spirit. That's not. See, you don't get that kind of understanding or a remedy. The world would try to medicate you, when really the Word of God wants to heal you. The world would try to psychologically get you to lay down on a couch and tell some psychologist what you went through, when really David, who was as strong as they come, man's man tough, David said in Psalms, "My heart is wounded within me." Brother Clifton, it doesn't matter how tough I am on the outside, I can still suffer a wound to my spirit that if I don't acknowledge the reality of it, I'm going to keep walking, and though I look good on the outside, for some, you struggling there too. Don't act all holy on me this morning. For some, it's we look the part and we know how to get dressed and come to church and do it just right, that everybody will think my world is together. But yet even David, who was as tough as they come and strong in his faith in God, said, "God, I'm turning to you because I've got a wound that came to me. God, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to overcome this one. I was able to beat a Goliath. I was able to beat an army of men. But there's something that happened to me that, God, there was a situation in my life that I went through, a circumstance." David was referring to an isolated moment, but talking about the battlefield and his men not rallying with him. He was talking about an intimate relationship that he had with people that did not work out like David wanted it to work out. There was a moment in David's life that, as tough as he was, and the outer trappings of it all being perfect, David turned. See, we don't want to get honest and real that it exists. We'd rather keep on walking through life and pretending I'm all for. Listen, I'm not ascribing to this victim mentality of, hey, I went through something as a child and now I'm going to suffer with it the rest of my life. I don't ascribe to that, because I believe whatever you went through, God's able to heal it and put your mind and world back together. I'm not ascribing to some "woe is me" and "look at my trouble" mindset. That's why I started this, not with some pop psychology. Let's dissect our problems. But I am preaching and propagating a valid truth from His Word, that you're going to suffer a wound in your heart. And just because you was involved or doing the work of God and doing your best for God and conquering giants for God, it doesn't make you exempt that life will throw you a curve. And something will happen in a relationship, Brother Fronto, that I didn't see happening, that David would say, "My heart is wounded." You think David didn't have arms that were wounded and legs that were wounded? I never record anywhere in Scripture where David said, "I hurt my leg. I hurt my finger. That sword brushed my ear or my leg or my But I do find a wound that was not even comparable to a sword. Sometimes I wonder if David, I would have been better off that the sword would have been through me and my life finished than to have to suffer the wound to my spirit and to my heart. David said, my spirit's wounded within me. What? Come on, David, quit being a crybaby. You little sissy. That's what we big, tough, robust men. There's a point in life where things are not always going to work out in here. And we can just brush along life and pretend that nothing's wrong. And we can look at it and say, like David, that hurt. That hurt. You might not have punched me, Brother Jackson, but I'd rather you have done that then you would have betrayed me like you did. What caused David to say that? What was David's story? I'll tell you what David's story was. There were several men in his life that came to David. One of them of really specifics is Doeg. I don't know if you remember him. He was in probably 1 Samuel, I don't know, chapter 21, 22. David's on the run from Saul. Running for his life at his weakest, most vulnerable moment. Nowhere to go, Sister Juanita, by himself. Isn't it funny that when you feel the most alone, your wife don't even understand what you're going through. She don't want to know really what you're going through. It'd scare everybody. But nobody knows what you're struggling with. You don't tell her. She don't tell you. See, a Doeg, it hits you and comes into your life when you're at your lowest. When you're at the most vulnerable point and you feel all alone and nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody gets it. My daddy don't. My mama don't. My wife, my kid. Nobody understands what I'm going through. David's on the run alone. And David finally found him a little hideaway in the preacher's house. Now watch this. And David's in the preacher's house, the church of God. Ahimelech, the high priest. And while David's there, Doeg's hiding behind the curtain, listening to the conversation between David and the preacher, and hearing David pour out his heart to the preacher. The Doeg mindset is one that takes the things of God and begins to twist your words and use it against you. And Saul is after David again. And when he couldn't get David, Doeg shows up. And watch what Doeg does. Because nobody else would do what needed to be done against David. Doeg took a sword and killed every preacher in the house. A Doeg mindset that comes against me and you, it doesn't want the things of God to flourish because it's jealous of what you got. Let me tell you, they've said it, I believe it. Jealousy is as cold as the grave. And inevitably, you're going to have somebody that's going to rise up and be jealous. They'll be jealous of your anointing. They'll be jealous of God's using you. They'll be jealous of Indian Village. They'll be jealous of your family. They'll be jealous of your ministry. They'll be jealous of your family. And Doeg rises up. You know where Doeg came from? An Edomite. You know who an Edomite is? From the lineage of Esau. You know who Esau was? The brother to who? Jacob. Some battles never go away, and you become the playing field of something that was never settled years ago. Doegs rise up because their great, great, great grandfather had an issue with jealousy, an issue with anointing killers. I've heard it many times. Old dog would get in the chicken coop. I had one around the house. Growing up, my neighbor had chickens. And inevitably, poor old sister, Miss Judy, back then we wasn't religious. It was Miss Judy. Now we're getting all religious. It's sister. Miss Judy call. Your dog's in my chicken coop. And we'd shoot him with a pellet gun and we'd pour hot water on him. And I did all the farmer's almanac, and that dog could never be cured. And here's what they said. Once he got the taste of that blood in his mouth. Now watch me. And I've seen it in living for God in my short tenure. Once people get the blood of the preacher in their mouth, they can't ever get it out. And I've seen great grandparents, they hated the preacher and their kids hate the preacher. Now I know I'm the preacher, so let me just preach as the preacher. But it ain't just that way. Once they get the blood against a saint, once they get the blood against in their mouth, and they a Doeg spirit opposes any forward progression you have in God. And David said, Doeg wounded me. He betrayed me in an hour when I thought I was protected and safe. See, that old Esau spirit never gives up and it never quits. It never stops. It didn't end with Doeg. It went on down Erythropel. That one really hurt, Brother Darrell. I can see where David struggled with Erythropel. Erythropel was David's counselor. It was his best friend confidant. And he would go to Erythropel, share with him things he was feeling, counsel. But watch what Erythropel did. And it didn't stop. David's son Absalom betrayed him. It hurts when your kids, friends, family, counsel, you fill in the blank, betray you and walk away. I'm all for propagating faith. All is well and everything's going to be okay. But somewhere between the rising of the sun and the going down of the same, I better find me a place that I can go to God and say, God, that wound is real. What they did, I don't agree with. I don't understand it. Because if I don't ask God to help me to deal with it, you watch. Before long, what I leave undealt with in a wound in my spirit will begin to come out in my speech. I know people right now, Brother Wade, they're bitter, they're frustrated. You talk about, I'll get on a conversation and start talking about what God's doing and the things of God, and inevitably they'll turn it to a negative spin and say, well, I remember the day when we used to, I just don't think the church is doing what it ought to be doing like we did back in the day. Somewhere in your yesterday, something didn't line up like you wanted. And there's an old festering wound that's producing that bitterness. See, we just kind of skate along. And I'm all for the prophet. I preach it where the prophet said, is all well? And that mama lied and said, all is well. The boy was dead. And she said, I'm all for believing God. But somewhere in me in your walk with God, we better look at the reality. Because if David suffered a wound in the heart of that tough and robust man, somewhere in my life, it doesn't matter how great my faith is or how much I shout or how much I praise, I'm going to suffer a wound that I don't realize I can get over. But I'm preaching to somebody this morning. It doesn't matter what they've done and what you've been through. There's a power in God that'll bring you out of it, but you've got to face the reality. don't face it, look at it. David did. I don't see where David whined and cried in his root beer, but I do see where David acknowledged that wound is tough. And when Absalom betrayed him, can you imagine the wound of that son? The kingdom's going to you. How could you walk away and turn against me? What mom and daddy, a son and daughter's turned against you. A spouse has turned against you. This has nothing to do with your lack of faith. This has to do with just the fact that you're human. And we deal with people. And wounds are going to come. And hurts are going to come. And disappointments are going to come. And if I look at it and just say, well, I might as well just get over it. Yeah. But the way I get over it is, I bring it before him. I bring it before him. When Absalom did what he did, he not only betrayed his daddy, he sided with David's counselor, Ahithophel. Ahithophel was the grandpa of Bathsheba. I remember old Dave, when he was supposed to be at battle fighting, he got comfortable and went over to somebody else's house. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you and I aren't supposed to fight for the kingdom of God. Paul said it this way. He said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This passivity that says we can just sit idly by and the church is going to keep rocking. The Bible says you and I have got to take it by force. Because if we're not actively engaged in the battle and the kingdom of God and fighting the battle and the good fight of faith, you and I fall prey to the spirits of this world. We get bored. We get bored. David, when he should have been at battle and fighting for the kingdom of God, he was at home comfortable on his rooftop. The Bible said when the king should have went to battle, David did not go. And he fell with Bathsheba. And now, the granddaddy to old Bathsheba rises up and says, remember what you did, old Dave? I'm going to settle the score. See, spirits don't exist in time. They come in and out of time. And mistakes of yesterday visit the kids of the next generation. And when Ahithophel couldn't deal with David on that day, he waited for the opportunity to get a hold of David at the right time. And when his son betrayed him, Ahithophel sided with Absalom and said, now it's time to get even. You don't think David looked at Ahithophel and said, after I've counseled with you, after we've been so close, and you're going to betray me? Ahithophel's response, you see what you did to my granddaughter, this is my way to get back. There's old territorial spirits that want to get back at individuals in this building. And they're not going to come with a pitchfork. They're going to come robed in flesh and use people's carnality and hurt, betray you when you thought you would never be betrayed. Who would have thought David would have had to go through what he went through? Such a great man of faith, such a faithful warrior, but yet still God allowed this to happen. Oh, it didn't end with those three. The one that really, I think, sent a deafening blow, Sister Becky, was Shimei. Shimei was the one that when David came into the city, he began to curse David for the sin of Bathsheba. You know who Shimei is? Shimei is one that reminds you of your mistakes of yesterday and keeps trying to make you relive the wound of yesterday and keep going back to the mistake over and over again. Because it knows if it can keep reminding you of what you did, and it will bring a curse, proverbially, on you. Shimei cursed David by telling him his mistake. And David said, "My spirit is wounded within me." Proverbs said it. Can you find me that scripture I read in Proverbs chapter 18? Proverbs said it like this: "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity." The spirit of a man can bear long. What that saying is in the first stanza, the spirit of a man can sustain that infirmity. You ever seen somebody that don't have the Holy Ghost? Don't even know about God. They're just tough as nails. And they get a sickness, they get an infirmity. And everybody else says, surely he's going to kick the bucket now. He ain't lived for God. He's been stubborn. He's been rebellious. But you see, that stubbornness to live was greater than the infirmity. And where the will to live, the spirit of a man, sustaineth that infirmity. Where his will is greater to live, he can make it through sicknesses that most people would have given up on. That's what that's meaning. And if you read that word spirit, it's in the feminine gender. There's a reason for that. Feminine gender being the weaker gender, because it's denoting the spirit of man. That if you depend on your humanity, there's a part of that that will sustain it, but yet it's not the final strength you can attain. Man's body, soul, and spirit. And I think it's Corinthians that says, "For the spirit of man is a lamp of the Lord." What does that mean? Here's what it means: body, soul, the innermost place of man is the spirit. The soul of man is the will, the mind, the emotions. But watch, it's also the place that our greatest wound is received. It's to the will of man. It's to that place of man's emotions that he's wounded and hurt. And your memory that you have of that past is nothing more than the inner spirit man looking at the soul man, being reminded every day of the hurt that you've been through. So if you understand that man has got an inner place that's struggles, what's the answer? What's the antidote to the spirit man? The answer is the Holy Ghost. Because when you can't in your own spirit get overcoming, that's where David was struggling. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. David didn't have the ability to turn back. That's why the Corinthians, that Paul said in Corinthians, "For the spirit beareth the infirmity, and your spirit prayeth for what it know not." In other words, when you can't pray yourself through, the Holy Ghost within you picks you up and prays you out. And David didn't have no Holy Ghost. David didn't have the experience that you and I had. All David had was the raw human spirit that just said, "I can't stay here. I can't let this wound fester. I've got to overcome it." Holy Ghost almost has been given, say this carefully, but a detriment. Because what good is it if you got it, but you don't let it heal you? I got it because I got to get it, but I never got it because of what he can do and the purpose of what the Holy Ghost is all about. That's why people say, well, I don't really need it. It's just some added blessing or gift. Not so. The Holy Ghost is the power of God working through your spirit to overcome every wound. We constantly in our human spirit look back on the memories. Come on. Get honest. You can go back right now. I remember when I gave him, or he bought that whatever from me, and he never paid me what we agreed on. I remember, let it back. Go back, Brother Jackson. I know it's a long way back, but let's try to go back. Think about the days when somebody did you wrong. And to this day, if you let that thought come back to your mind, you begin to think. And before long, if the Holy Ghost don't kick in, thank God for it, some kind of, well, you'll see him on the street. Nah, that joker. Oh, watch this one. Let me get down really where we are. Oh, there's that preacher. There's that saint. They say they're all godly, but look, I remember what they did. You say, why in the world are you preaching this on Sunday morning? You want to know why? Because we got people that's fixing to walk in them back doors. And they ain't no psychologist can fix them. I can't fix them. And you can't fix them. And they've been around long enough that they've seen the errors of humanity in the church. You with me? They've seen the errors of you. People that have professed to be godly, and they ain't no more godly than the man in the moon because they've learned how to do this. But when they go home, they beat the snot out of their wife. Or they go home and they do this, that, or the other. And we've got a group now of kids that are wanting to come in, and they got wounded spirits. They're confused. They're mixed up. I'm not advocating victim mentality, but I am advocating they're wounded in their spirit because they've seen things they don't understand. They've seen the errors of Saul. They've seen the errors of Doeg. They've been through the hurts of Erythropel. They've seen the errors and the hurts of all of this. And the answer is not fancy church. The answer is the Holy Ghost working in them. And without the Holy Ghost, it's never going to change. But you let your mind go back right now. And if when your mind goes back, I've been hurt, Brother Jackson, by preachers. Brother Tyrone, I never thought how was Brother Ewan protected me from all that. But then when I got out in the real world with the big boys, they hurt me, Brother Wade. They hurt me. They did things to me. Whoa. I didn't see that one coming. And if I wouldn't have had a walk with God, Brother Wade, and push it through in the spirit and say, God, I want you to bless them. I want you to forgive them. I want you to help them and try to find something good. Maybe, God, they did it and they didn't know they did it. God, be merciful to them. Oh, ask the preacher. I put my head on the block first, but let's go to a saint. Let's go to another brother or sister. They hurt me. Yeah. That boss hurt me. And isn't it funny, Brother Jackson, that when they do what they do, I'm in a position that I can't do nothing about it? We pretend and act all big and bad. Oh, bless God, I'm going to call Smith and I'm going to call Wesson and I'm going to take care of them. See, that's, bless God, I'm going to take care of that. But somewhere in your life, in my life, by the way, there's going to come something in my life from somebody, whether it be saint, preacher, son, daughter, grandma, aunt, nanny, uncle, pot, aunt, whatever you want to label it and call it. Somebody is going to do something that I never saw coming. And if I'm not careful, that wound's going to fester in my heart. But if I know the one that can take care of it, then if I face it and say, you know what, it is real, but I'm not going to make a monument out of it. I'm going to put a tombstone and bury it and say, okay, God, it shouldn't have been done and it was wrong, but I'm going to move on and I pray the blessing of God on them and their family. I said it the other night, I'm going to say it again. I'm so sick of people. I've heard these evangelists on YouTube about the haters. I'm so tired of it because I hear them say, haters, haters, haters. What if God allowed them people to come in your life and my life? I used to preach a message called Agents of Heaven. And everybody shouts on that because we think we're talking about angels. But you know who the agents of heaven are? Agents of heaven are God's people that he allows to come into your life and just rub you wrong. Nobody wanting to get honest in here. I can hear a rat eating ice again. Just rubs you wrong, Megan. I've been there and they make me mad. And then for long, it gets in my heart. And I'm getting a little bit more than just angry now. Like, ooh. And when I see them out on the street, or, I see them preach. I know what that preacher is. And you see what's coming from the world and even Christians? Haters, haters. Take some hater aid. I don't want to take no hater aid. I'd rather do what the Lord said. Bless those that despitefully use you. Blessed are the peacemakers. Bless God, I'm going to give them peace of my mind. I say it, I'm going to say it again. You better not. You ain't got much to give, Jack. Ain't that right, Brother Keith? I don't understand why it happens the way it does. But I struggle, Brother Keith. I struggle with why does it have to happen that way? I can be strong to beat an infirmity. Why cannot be, watch, but a wounded spirit. It don't say you're going to beat that one. Y'all with me this morning? I'm about to close. But who can bear it? In other words, I can beat the flu. I can beat measles. I've got a will to live. It'll sustain me and get me through that infirmity. When everybody else gave up on me, I made it through that car wreck. When they left me to die on that sheet, put it over me, he done. I live. But what's the antidote for a wound? You know that word spirit there is not feminine. It's masculine. Why? Because it's trying to show the progressive order. Feminine, masculine. Feminine is the weaker. She starts first. But when she can't do what she needs to do, that's why there's got to be divine order in a home. Man of God, wife, divine order. Where there's order in a home, there's no confusion and chaos. Scripture's pointing out again, when she can't do what she needs to do, what does she do? Daddy, hubby, breadwinner, strong man, what you do? You call the husband. Why? It's God's order. She does all she can do. But when you get to a place you don't know what you can do, where else are you going to turn? You turn to your husband, your strength. World Benoit's talking about marriage on Sunday morning. Because there's probably somebody in the house needs to understand there's an order to a home. But when you can't do what you need to do, what's the answer? Oh, my word. When he can't fulfill in the spirit, I don't know, Brother Wade. She don't call you Wade. I don't know what she call you. Snooky. Powder. Puff. Something. Hubby. Whatever she calls you, Brother Wade. Baby. I can't make it. I need you to help me. Right? See, that's why I want. Why don't people want to live for God? It's the best thing going. Why wouldn't a man? I just painted a picture. David was a man's man. But David even said, I'm hurt. What do you do now when she's pulling on you? What do you do when she's pulling on you? Saying, I need you to help me. And you say, I'm going to be there for you. We got this. And let's get honest. When you get done telling her that, you walk in the prayer closet by yourself when she's out there doing the garden or picking potatoes, whatever. You in the house by yourself, and you'll get honest and say, oh, God, what am I going to do? Try pastoring. Try evangelizing. Try being a preacher. You coming to me? God's going to help us. That's what he says. And then you call me, Brother Benoit. You're passing the buck, right? And then you wonder why I'm so skinny. Fasten my guts out saying, God, you got to figure this out. But when you can't get in touch with Benoit, here's what will happen. She goes to you. And when you're all by yourself, Brother Wade. See that scripture? The feminine. It'll do its part, but then eventually it's going to get to a place. It's tapped out. It's going as far as it can go. Then it kicks in the masculine. Sorry, women, Liber. That's why, oh, God, something just hit me right there in the spirit. One, two, three, four. God, don't let me see them. Women wanting to be independent. Everything got a place. God created it in order. Sorry, I can't undo Genesis. There's a man, there's a woman, there's children. And there's a head to all that, and it's Christ. And how is Christ emulated? Fivefold ministry. Pastor, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist. Fivefold ministry, that's the head of Christ. This mindset that's come in. What do you think we're facing in the world right now? I just read another one on KPLC or something. I don't know where it was. Maybe Christianity Today, a magazine. I get on my phone. And now they're propagating Disney and Mickey, Minnie Mouse now. That she can lead it all. Oh, I tell y'all should have prayed right then when I started counting. I'm not saying women don't have their place and can be used mightily of God. But I've done seen it. Women get out over here and there ain't no head and no covering to protect them in the spirit. Okay, y'all better, I'm telling y'all better start praying or I'm going to end up digging a little bit deeper. What's the scripture trying to tell you and I? That when you can't get beyond, we've got a resource in the masculine. He said, who can bear it? There's a wound coming, Sister Melissa, that's going to come from people. That ain't nobody can fix it. Ain't no doctor can fix it, Brother Mike. Wound. A wound, but we've got an answer. David didn't have no Holy Ghost. You know what the answer is? Paul said in Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, for if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You know what new creature means? It goes all the way back to Genesis. It talks about original formation. Basically, when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you stay filled with the Holy Ghost in your life, you go back to the original creation. What are you saying all that for, Benoit? Here's what I'm saying it for. You can go back to the beginning where Adam walked with God in the coolness of the day and Adam walked with him and talked, and God will come down where you are in your hurt and in your wound, and God will say, I understand where you are. I can heal it. I can put your wound. Musicians, come. I'm ready. I'm done. So the wound's going to come. The battle's going to come. People are going to do things that you and I don't understand. They're going to say things. They're going to betray us. But if I can keep my focus, Sister Smith, Brother Smith, if I can keep it on God, Sister Agnes, if I can understand who my source is, that when I can't get a hold to my prayer warrior, I can't get a hold to some elder, Brother Bush, I can't get a hold of Brother Carroll, I need you to pray, Brother Carroll. If I can just understand I got the Holy Ghost and that'll pray through me and help me get to where I need to go. Stand with me. Everything will work out. I don't know about you, but that scripture says, who can bear it? Who can bear it? Solomon wrote that. Solomon watched his daddy go through Doeg. Solomon watched his daddy go through Doeg, Ahithophel, Shimei, Cush, Absalom. He watched his daddy make the mistake with Bathsheba. He watched his daddy number Israel, and God said, I'm going to curse you. Solomon watched all the mistakes of his daddy, and Solomon, his son, closes it up and says, I can battle through an infirmity, but when I saw what my daddy went through, I don't know if I can go through the same thing. I think of some of you elders have been here a long time. What is it your daddy went through? Struggles and battles and fights they went through, people hurting them. And you as a kid, now you're older. You're the Solomon looking at the David saying, I don't mean to dig up old wounds, but we can't go forward until some old wounds are dealt with. That means even old wounds of right now. Brother Mike Smith, I'll use you an example. If you don't like me, then I need you to pray for me. And somewhere in your walk with God, flip it over. There's something in me that I don't like you. First of all, I'm going to pray, God bless him. God strengthen him. But then I'm going to pray, God, I choose to forgive whatever it is. Who today needs to just forgive and let go of some old wounds? See, watch. I'm telling y'all, I'm going to go back to Medlin again. We learn how to look spiritual, but yet we don't ever want to. What was the title of my message? I don't even remember it, but it was good, I know. Y'all know I'm just cutting up with you. The wound's real. Why don't we quit being so spiritual, tough, macho, whatever? Just say, you know what? Man, I didn't overcome that as well as I thought I did. And maybe that's why David said like this, search my heart. Try the reins of my heart. Watch. Create in me a what? Clean heart. And what? Renew in me a what? Watch me. Creating a heart is instantaneous. Wham! God will give you a new heart. Creation. Like God created the moon and the stars. Right? But what's that renew? David was saying, I got to do that every day. Because my spirit keeps wanting to look back on the past hurts and never let it go. But if I can renew and forgive, create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit that I'm pleasing unto you. Does anybody just want to please God today? This message here today, I just felt the Lord nudge me and say, just encourage them. There's wounds and there's hurts all across this building here today. And we can pretend and act like everything's okay and hide it from husband, hide it from wife, hide it from grandpa, hide it from the preacher. But until you and I just want to get honest and say, you know what, God? I need to forgive them. I need to let that go. I need to pray for them and just love God, because that's the way God's favor comes. Lift your hands right now all across this building. Let's let it start in the pew right now and just talk to the Lord. God, come on, let's be honest right now. God, I need you right now. I need you to touch my heart, touch my mind, touch my spirit. God, my anger is showing I'm not over it. My bitterness, my negative speech. Come on, somebody, if your speech is kind of jaded or it's kind of negative or it's kind of, you might want to look at your heart. Is there something there that's been hurt? It's not because you're a devil or you're bad. You just got a wounded spirit. God wants to heal that today. Come on, I want you to grab the hand to the person next to you and let's come to the front. Grab their hand. Come on, grab your neighbor's hand and let's all come together today as a family. As they lead us in worship today, grab their hand, lift it to heaven, and let's just talk to the Lord just for a moment.